Well, we welcome you to Maranatha Baptist Church's Christmas Eve service, and as the title on the program says, a church family Christmas. And this is intended to have a family-type atmosphere. We're not trying to be so rigid in our performance as we are enjoying a time of celebrating the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you follow in the program, you'll see that there are hymns to be sung where you'll see congregation. That means you turn to the page, and we'll tell you which verses we'll be singing, and then we'll have different ones in the congregation reading certain scripture, and we'll be. You can listen or follow along. There should be Bibles in the pew rack in front of you, and we'd welcome you to take that and follow along as well. So I think that pretty much sets the stage for where we're at tonight. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our church family Christmas. Father, we rejoice in the words of what was just played. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And Lord, the King Jesus that we know of in the Bible came first, as we discovered this morning in Matthew 2 and chapter 1 and 2, that he came to be the Savior of people, the Savior of his people first, and then the Savior for the world. We're grateful, Lord, tonight that as we celebrate this Christmas as a church family and as those who are our guests, we pray, Father, that our focus will be on the purpose for Christmas, the person of Christmas, and then the privilege that comes because of Christmas. And we ask and pray, Lord, that if there be one or several here that will be in attendance who have never come to truly recognize that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Lord, I pray tonight that you would do that work that only you can do. And we ask that everything that's said and sung and done would bring glory and honor to you and cause each of us this evening to consider, as we get ready to celebrate the day of Christmas tomorrow, as we gather with whomever we may gather with, of the blessing being able to celebrate Christmas Day because that person, Jesus Christ, came into the world to save us from our sins. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's a poem called Baby Jesus, Child of Love by Marcia Newton. Baby Jesus, child of love, born of Mary, child of God, born this night to bring us light, God with us, Emmanuel. Bells ring out, a child is born, angels sing out, Christ the Lord. All on earth rejoice his birth, a child of love, the promised one. Hope was born this silent night, dark no more, eternal light. He came to bring us saving grace, a child of love, the Holy One. Word made flesh this holy night, living promise, love divine, bringing peace, goodwill to men, a child of love, the chosen one. Born this night, the sacred night, Jesus Christ, the Lord Most High, came to save and show the way, a child of love, the Son of God.
Reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. If you take your hymnals, we're going to be turning to number 133. Hark the herald angels sing. Number 133, we'll sing the first two verses.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Genesis chapter 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice.
Let's sing once again and turn to number 145. Number 145, and we're going to be singing, O Come All Ye Faithful, number 145. First two verses.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Reading from the book of Micah 5. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Let's take our hymnals once again, and we'll be singing from number 136, the First Noel, verses 1, 5, and 6. Number 136, the First Noel.
The First Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Verse 5.
Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
At this point in the service, we'll take an offering. I can ask the men to come forward. And Don, would you lead us in prayer?
Our scripture reading is going to involve you, so if you brought a Bible or can turn to the Bible that is in front of you and turn to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. We will read that together. Sometimes we do that in our regular services before the preaching. We'll have the congregation read together. So we'll be looking at Isaiah 9 and verses 6 and 7. When you found it, I'll assume that you have found it when the pages stop turning. Isaiah 9, verse 6, and then we'll read through to the end of verse 7. Together, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this."
Take our hymnals once again. You might have heard this in our prelude, but we'll sing the words now. "Joy to the World," number 125, and we'll sing the first two verses. "Joy to the World."
"Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, let Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy."
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it."
If we take our hymnals once again, number 168, "Who is he in yonder stall?" Number 168, and we'll sing verses 1 and 5.
"Who is he in yonder stall, at whose veil shepherds fall? Who is he in deep distress, fasting in this wilderness? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all." Verse 5. "Who is he that from the grave comes to heal and help and save? Who is he that from his throne rules through all the world alone? 'Tis the Lord of wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall, crowning, crown him Lord of all.
Luke 1:26-33. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end.
We take our hymnals again. Following that, we will be singing 131, Angels from the Realms of Glory, number 131. And here we'll sing verses 1 and 2.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight for all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Reading in the book of Matthew, in chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Let's hymnals once again, 155, number 155. Once in Royal David City, number 155, and again we'll sing verses 1 and 2.
Once in Royal David City, stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. with the poor and mean and lowly, lived on earth our Savior holy.
Luke 2:8-16. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Let's sing another hymn, number 152. Number 152, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. We'll sing verses 1, 4, and 5. Number 152.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let peal the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The roar all the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from bright to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
I will comment on these verses in a little while, but I will read them to you, Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Then Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Do you worship the babe in the manger, but reject the Christ of the cross? Your redemption comes not by the manger, but the death of Christ on the cross. The babe in the manger is God's only Son, who came to the world to die. The babe in the manger shall never have done the work of his Father on high. The babe left the manger and went to the cross to pay your wages of sin. Your way of forgiveness is not by the babe, but the Christ
who died for your sin. If you worship the babe in the manger, but refuse the blood of God's Son, to you Christ is only a stranger. If you trust the work he has done, the babe in the manger was God's only Son, who came to the world to die. The babe in the manger could never have done the work of his Father on high. The babe left the manger and went to the cross to pay the wages of sin. Your way of forgiveness is not by the babe, but the Christ who died for your sin. Will you look past the babe in the manger? Will you look to Calvary? Oh, my friend, can you not see the danger of a lost eternity? The babe in the manger was God's only Son, who came to the world to die. The babe in the manger could never have done the work of his Father on high. The babe left the manger and went to the cross to pay our wages of sin. Your way of forgiveness is not by the babe, but the Christ who died for your sin. But the Christ who died for your sin.
That tells us exactly what Galatians chapter 4 was telling us as the Apostle Paul wrote those two verses in a rather interesting book, Countering False Teaching. He said, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. We know that woman was Mary, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Three quick points this evening as we conclude our Christmas family celebration. We see the giver, we see the gift, and we see the gifted. The giver is God. When the fullness of time was come, God sent. He gave. Fullness of time, what does that mean? When the exact precise time in God's eternal timetable had come to be, God turned on the switch, if you will. The delivery of that gift was sent. God did that. You know, there are a lot of people today that wonder if there is a God. There are many people wondering if they do believe in some kind of God, they wonder if he's angry. If what we're experiencing in our world today is the result of his anger. But I'd like to tell you what the Bible says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We don't use words like begotten anymore. It's speaking to the point of a unique kind of gift. It's really a one of a kind.
You know, sometimes we'll hear people say that describing certain things like automobiles. This is a one of a kind. You'll never see another one like this. Or a one of a kind coin. Or a one of a kind home. Or a one of a kind whatever thing there might be in a certain type of hobby or collection. Well, the Lord Jesus isn't just something to put on the collection table or on a collection shelf or something to put away in a safe. God said it was time. Jesus, Son of God, it's time for you to take on flesh, for you to become a human being like the one that you created in the garden, just like Adam, just like Eve. That fullness of time had arrived at the precise moment when Mary, who was betrothed to her soon-to-be husband, Joseph, the Holy Spirit of God, came and planted that seed into the womb of Mary. It's not because Mary was exceptional. It's because Mary was God's chosen vessel for that to take place. She had not known a man. She had not been married before. She was a humble girl. She was the least recognized of women up until this point in time. And God chose that. He chose that way. Now, there would be some who would say, well, couldn't God have done something different? Well, of course he could have. But God chose this way because of man's sin, because of our sin. God in his holiness and in his justness required justice because of the act of sin. The disobedience of Adam and Eve way back in the Garden of Eden. And we're told, for by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You say, well, I'm not so sure what sin is. Well, sin is anything that misses the mark of bringing glory to God. The transgression of the law. In fact, as we look at this text, it says that Jesus, this one, the Son of God, being sent from the Father, made of this woman, made under the law. Talking about a society that was observing the Old Testament law. Jesus came without sin. He fulfilled that law. Not just in his being, but in his behavior. He's sinless. No one else like him. No one else before him. That's why John the Baptist in the Gospel of John is heard declaring, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the spotless Lamb of God." He became the sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, we're told in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law. All of us under the law from the beginning to the present have broken that law in one form or fashion. We may not have committed murder. We may not have committed adultery. We may have not been disobedient to our parents. There's one that we've all broken, and that is somewhere along the way, bearing false witness. We lied. We lied somewhere, somehow. I've lied. If my mom were here tonight, she could probably tell you a few tales of my lying, scheming as a young boy, trying to figure out how I can get away with things. But let's just say for a moment, no one here is a liar. The 10th commandment says, but thou shalt not covet. Have you ever been tempted to look over the fence of life and see what others are gaining and gathering, and we wonder why we're not getting the same? Well, there's not just 10 commandments. There's several hundred, in fact. But we recognize the Decalogue, the 10 commandments, for which Moses scribed as God gave them to him for the people of Israel, for the children of God. And so we needed a redeemer. We needed to be bought back out from the slave market of sin. You say, well, what is that slave market of sin? Well, that's where the old devil is the master, and he's a horrible master. He's a taskmaster. He loves to see us in ruts. He loves to see us addicted. He loves to see us going and wandering away, getting further and further into darkness and discouragement and depression and acting out disobediently. But in the fullness of the time, God's exact plan, he sent forth his son, his beloved son, for the purpose of taking on flesh to become the sacrifice for the sins of you and me, to buy us back out of that slave market under the taskmaster of Satan, and to be brought in to a family. Not to be called and used as servants, but to be brought in as children, sons and daughters of God. The giver is God, the gift is Jesus, and the gifted ones are those in verse number 5, the last part, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I've never been an orphan. Maybe some of you were. Maybe some of you were given up at childbirth or somewhere along the way, and you were put into foster home, and somebody came along and desired to adopt you. I've read some stories that are rather heartwarming, tearjerkers. Somebody out of the goodness of their heart says, I want to make them, him, her, a part of my family. In essence, that's what God did for you, for me. He did it out of his merciful kindness. God is a merciful God. I stand here today as a testimony of that. And many of you could probably identify the same. I should have died a long, long time ago. God was not a merciful God. The first time I sinned, the first words out of my mouth that were unkind, gone. We all are, in a measure, living testimonies of the mercy of God. His goodness, his graciousness, his kindness, all of those descriptive words wrapped up in this word, love, the love of God. He did it to redeem us. He did it to take us out of the taskmaster's grip and to bring us in to the wonderful blessing of his family. But the only way that could be done was not by works that we could do, not by throwing money into an offering plate, not by joining a church like this, but turning our eyes upon Jesus, upon his word, and recognizing God died for me. I'm that sinner, along with the millions and billions of others who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God sent his son. The giver gave his gift that I might be gifted and become a child of God. In fact, Paul writes in the book, his letter to the Romans, and says that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's pretty important. And the fact that when a person comes to understand his sinfulness and understands God's mercy and the gift of eternal life and forgiveness through Jesus Christ alone, that in turn means that every person who turns to Christ for salvation is not only forgiven and saved and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is put on their eternal account, but that they are a joint heir with Jesus. I have two younger sisters. When God in his choosing calls my mom home to be with the Lord, all three of us become joint heirs to her estate. Now, don't get any ideas. There's not millions of dollars out there. The point of the story is, upon the death of my mother, the three of us become active joint heirs. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, we become automatic joint heirs with Jesus Christ before a holy God. But that can only be our reality when we come to reason that what God's word says is true. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is through Jesus Christ, the Lord. I read Romans 10, 9 through 13 a few moments ago. In verse number 9, it's very clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confessing him to be the gift of God, to be the only way to be redeemed out of the slave market of sin and be brought into the wonderful family of God, and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus, who came to die on a cross, be buried in a tomb, and the third day rises again, conquering the grave, death, and conquering the power of sin. No longer has a grip. Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washes us white as snow. I quoted an old hymn this morning in the service. I think it's appropriate to repeat at least a couple of phrases of it. It starts with the question, have you been to Jesus, the cleansing flood? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, what Jesus did on the cross was shed his blood. That's what God the Father required of God the Son. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You see, there's nothing I can do. I can give my entire life to pay for my sin. But that's the best I could do, is pay for it. I could never crawl out of the grave. I'm eternally done because I can't pay for my sin and be righteous at the same time. Only Jesus did that. He's the righteous one. That's why it's God's plan of salvation and not man's. It's not the church's salvation, it's God's. He sent his son. There's no better gift. There's no better present. There's no better life. Sure, there's a lot of people that are living a good life. But when it comes to eternity, it's not enough to get to the place called heaven, to get into the presence of where God is. You see, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is what's required. And there's none of us that are righteous enough. Put all of us together. Put all of our good works together. There's not a pinky finger that could get into heaven. Because all of our righteousness, as the old prophet says, are but filthy rags. So what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Have you been to Jesus? Have you received that gift of eternal life? Would you like to be forgiven of all your sin, past, present, and future? Only Jesus, only through Jesus can that be your reality. What gets me to heaven? Not what I do. But what he's done. Jesus is the key, is the gift, is God's grace to us that we might have heaven and enjoy life to its fullest here on earth. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Appreciate you being here tonight. We want to close in just a moment with our final hymn. But I wonder this afternoon, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. I'm not going to embarrass anybody or anything like that. But in the quietness of these next few moments, do you have the true conviction that you know where you will spend eternity? Do you know with conviction whether you are a receiver of God's wonderful gift or not? It's my burden and my prayer that you would be able to say yes based on Scripture, not based upon a feeling or an experience, but based upon what the Word of God says. And if there's some measure of uneasiness or uncertainty, it is truly my desire to sit down and talk with you about that. If you're a lady, have another lady sit with you and explain how you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and to have life and to have it more abundantly on this side of heaven and certainly on the other side of those pearly gates. Father, you know our hearts tonight. We can convince ourselves of many things. There's only one thing that will convince you that we are right with God, and that is, have we believed in our hearts who Jesus Christ is? Believing with the sense of dependence, I totally depend on what the Word of God is teaching about myself as a sinner and my need of the Savior, and about the Savior who came to die in my place that I might have life eternal from this day forward. Lord, I ask that you would convict that heart that's uncertain, that you would trouble that soul until they turn to you. I don't pray that out of unkindness. I pray that out of a burden. Lord, we're told that the truth of this very message is what sets men free. I pray, Lord, today, that you would do that work in that heart that is ready to turn to you. Father, for those of us who know you as Savior, I pray that these familiar words will have once again reinforced the blessing of having a loving Savior, a great and good God who gave his only begotten Son, that we might have eternal life and have the abundant life through Christ alone. Lord, we praise you for the privilege of being able to praise your name and to go through these scriptures that remind us of the Old Testament promises and the New Testament fulfillment. And we pray today, Lord, as we get ready to embark upon the great celebration of the Christmas day, Lord, there's no greater celebration than to be able to say to our wonderful God, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. We ask all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we'll invite you to come and pick up a candle, and we will, after everybody gets a candle, gets it lit, you just put it against the tall ones here, make your way back carefully, and we'll dim the lights even more, and we will sing Silent Night, and we will be done. So if you'll come forward, we've got one uncooperative candle. Okay. Just
Be careful to hold the candle underneath the card so you don't get hot wax on your hand.
Okay.